Welcome to Cross-Platform Podcast, where we discuss how to solve productivity problems across platforms. I'm Augusto Pinot.
And I'm Mark Gelwicks.
And today we are discussing about dedicated devices. And as the person who has more than one devices, and really, you know, I've been asked these questions multiple times. Why do you need so many devices? And why did you got into so many devices? Can you just do it with one? And the short answer is yes. The other answer is a little bit more complicated. And for me, the dedicated devices started many years ago, around 20 years ago, when I began experiencing with browsers. And I have told the story, but I'm going to tell the story briefly again. When my job started turning more online, I noticed that I was sitting many hours on the computer, but not necessarily moving forward this important stuff. And I couldn't understand what it was. And suddenly I noticed, oh, because I have this browser, and then I do Command T and open the next tab and go into this rabbit trail. Sometimes they will work, many times they were not. Mm-hmm. And then I was, you know, spending technically the hours in the computer, but not moving the important things forward. So at that time, I did what I called in the book, 25 Tips for Productivity, the tail of the two browsers. And then I split my going into the browser with personal and professional. And that didn't mean I'm not going to do any personal navigating during the day. No, no, no. That just mean for me that I was going to do all my professional surfing, web surfing in Chrome and all my personal in Safari. And I have kept that thing for 20 years, even on my phone. Okay. You can look into my phone and my iPads and every other device. I have Chrome and I have Safari. And because of the different tasks that I do, personal as well as professional, happened the same thing. It was difficult for me to make a distinction what I was doing. And sometimes, you know, I was more in a personal time on a Saturday and then end up working for 4 hours. And I'm not against working on Saturday. Okay. I'm going to relax and end up working 4 hours. That's where I wanted to make the distinction. I didn't want it, same as with the browsers, the unconscious part take over. I wanted to make the decision. I'm going to work 4 hours. I'm good with that. My problem is when the unconscious take over. So that's when I begin having dedicated devices. How about, and I will share more about my devices, but how about you? How about your dedicated devices and where did that start?
It's interesting because I don't really have dedicated devices. I keep trying really hard to say, okay, I'm going to use this device for this activity all the time. But every time I start doing that, I'm like, well, I could do other things with it. And I have this itch in the back of my head that says, well, if you have something and you can make it do all these different things, you should be making it do all these different kinds of things. So I've actually had to start to think about devices with a small d rather than a capital D, where it's not an actual device, but it's a dedicated use on that device. How do I get that device to get me to a state of working on something where that's the only thing I'm focused on that device at that time? In my case, I'm starting to look at dashboards and display pages and things like that. But I believe the context works the same way. You've got a point on a device, whether that's the only job of the device or at that moment, that's its only job, where its focus allows you to focus on your execution. Now, if it's a device that's all its job is, that makes it really easy. That makes it extremely simple, because you can just take it, grab it, use it. And I'll admit, I still have my ancient Kindle here. It has one job. It's a wonderful little job, but that's all it does. And that's by design. You can't do anything else with the thing. You can't take notes on it, or you're just going to read. other devices I have, yeah, you can do a lot more on it. And it does, I'll admit, it causes confusion at times because you'll pick up a device and you go, oh, I could work on this, or I could do that on this. But then it's not necessarily the best experience. Or maybe you don't have all the information there. Or now you have to make sure that everything in the back end works across everything. And we talk about that. Cross-platform is what we're all about, being able to do everything wherever you want to be able to do it. But a lot of times having a specific tool for a specific job makes absolute sense. And I don't know why in the tech space we're so big on having multi-purpose tools. When you look in the physical space, some of the worst tools you can have are multi-purpose tools. I'm a pseudo car guy. I just like working on my cars. And the difference between a socket wrench that actually fits the nut and one of those stupid little adjustable wrenches that's always out of whack, and it can sort of do the job, but it's not meant to do every job. It's not the optimal tool. You're not going to get it done fastest with the best experience. So dedicated devices can have a really prominent place in your platform if you have access to the tools and you have access to the actual equipment.
For me, who have that heavy thin, there is two things that it brings. One is focus. So in my case, when I write, for example, okay, I write three types of content. Okay. I write for books. I write for short pieces. Maybe it's a white paper, maybe it's a blog post. Okay. And I use even two separate pieces. And then I do the work with the church and the community. Okay. And the work that I'm doing there. And there is some writing in there. And I still have a third device for that, and a third application, for that. And can I access the book on most of my devices? Yes. I use a software called Scrivener, and on most of iOS or MacBooks, I can. Same thing with when I work in Mariner, on Ulysses, same thing. I can access on the Mac, I can access on the iPad. The spiritual thing and the church work is interesting because I, on purpose, pick an Android device. And the reason for that was I did not want it to lose the focus. It's very, very hard for me to get all the notifications and all the access when I'm doing that work. Therefore, I wanted something that was on purpose segregated for the rest of my world. So I have a Chromebook and I have a books device. Both are Android-based. And can I access the things in my iOS devices? Yes. But I tend to push the work into the other devices when I work in. And what I have discovered is that gives me a shorter path to connect with what I'm doing. So in talking about multiple devices, I have a large iPad. I have a 12.9 iPad, and that is my workhorse. That thing can access everything and anything. It has data and it bing and ding and everything else, and it's connected to everything in my world. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then from that device, then they start losing abilities. It's not that they cannot connect in many cases, it's that I on purpose don't give them the full access. As I said, my phone can connect to everything that I have written for the church and spirituality and faith. But do I want to use my iPad when I do that? No, because what I want is to disconnect purposely to that world. So that gives me the chance to refocus very, very fast. And you say context, and that is exactly what it is. I look at some of these dedicated devices as context. You know, you mentioned the Kindle. Here is the Kindle, okay? Because that is, I want to be able to read without getting zero interruptions. And that's what I grab with me. That's what I go and take. And that gives me a lot of power when I'm working, because I can really focus fast. That is the I don't do multitasking, but I do a lot of rapid refocusing where I need to I'm doing this and something happened and I need my attention to change mode, change context to something else. The dedicated devices allow me that change very quick.
Yeah, the concept, and it's interesting because a lot of applications don't, I think this is where this conversation is going to wind up going. Because like I said, I'm using a fixed set of hardware and I'm using all the hardware for all the things all the time. You've got targeted hardware. So I think if we take it from those two sides, I'm doing the same thing on the software side, how I approach it with that. And starting to build out dedicated experiences in the software I use is helping me get to that point. But you're absolutely right. Being able to isolate that down, a lot of software doesn't lend itself to that. They really build themselves to say, hey, we can put everything here in front of you. And there's only, you know, it's the classic software mindset of a single pane of glass where you put everything up in front of you. That's a lot of stuff. And it can be very distracting. I mean, if I look at my master, we were talking about this in pre-show, my task list of activities for today went on for 3 pages. And it's all over the place. All different kinds of things have to happen. It's a busy week. There's no way to focus on anything when you have something like that, when you have that kind of a monstrosity of an activity list in front of you. You have to be able to provide lenses and panes on the information so that you can sit down and say, okay, I have to work on college stuff. I have to work on client stuff. I have to. And it comes back to that idea of multitasking and task switching and task focus. If you're going to work on that given thing, that's what should be in front of you. A lot of times we'll hear people say, oh, well, you know, I cut out the notifications and everything else because I put my device in airplane mode and then I'm completely isolated. I don't know if I'd go that far because you completely disconnect everything. But I believe iPhone has it. I know Android does. Do not disturb mode. To be able to flip that switch and go into do not disturb and say, okay, not getting any notification. Closing the email up, closing your email application up so that I'll check it when I get around to checking it, but I'm going to focus on this. But then you go into an application that shows you everything that you have to do on a given day. It's like, I haven't improved my focus at all. I'm just focusing on a mass of things. It's like walking in and looking at your inbox. Think about your inbox before it's been unprocessed. That stack of stuff that you need to deal with. If you could have a dedicated inbox for client work, church work, personal work, a lot of times you do that with rules, but that's similar to what we're talking about. You've just been able to take it to a step even further.
But you start with a point that you says, what is the best experience that I can get with this device? So when you look at those things, for example, I've been saying for years, I don't check email on my phone. Why? Can I have all the information on my phone? Yes. Okay. Everything is, if not everything, 99% these days synchronized with the phone. But is this the best experience? No. If I need to start looking at stuff on my phone, okay, it takes longer than what it takes me to open the big iPad and do exactly that, where I can split my screen on two and working, you know, moving things around. The phone yet cannot do that powerful processing. Then why? What is that thing that is urgent enough for me to access it on the phone? Okay. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we need to be very conscious is on that question, because when we don't ask that question, then we assume that everything has that importance. And you can go, because most people these days have multiple email addresses. It may not be I don't check every email address. It may be I check this. Actually, if you look at my phone, there is an email address. There's a family email address that where all the stuff from the kids gets there. That thing bings on my phone. Why? Because if the school sent a message, I want to be aware that the kids are going to be let go 2 hours early. Okay, I don't want to say, oh, I didn't check my thing on my phone. Okay, sorry, that's not acceptable in my world. So that email, it's there. But that's not my main email. That's not my working email. Okay, that email don't receive that much information. So that's where you can go and segregate that information. You know, one of the things I advise to some of my executive clients is get a second computer. So you have a day computer where all your notifications, all your stuff, work stuff and personal, whatever is in there. Yeah. And a second one where you can now work at night. Okay. Or at night, or when you need focus work, whatever is the definition that you need. And one of the things, you know, we do this with, I coach a lot of people to go into the iPad only, and it's the same thing. Okay. You can get an iPad that has everything. I have one. Okay. My iPad Pro 12.9, that thing gets everything. But then it is very powerful when I can grab a second device and say, you know what, this device technically have access to everything, but I get no notification on anything except this purpose. Okay. Because that it's not about not accessing your information. If you need to, you will. It's about making sure that the distractions are relevant to what it is. And hardware used to be very expensive. Okay? 20 years ago, a basic laptop was $2,000 or $1,500. Now, for nothing, okay, $200-$300, you can solve that problem and buy five for what you used to buy one. And now you can segregate in so many ways and so many powerful. How many times have you gone late at night, sit in the sit on the couch, you know, with your wife, or with your family, whatever, and you are now trying to decompress, pull your phone because we are humans, and now you engage into work. Why? That was not the goal.
And there's,
and again, goes back to the unconscious.
There's ways you can do that. And you're absolutely right, because with the advent of Chromebooks, I mean, you have the ability to have a device that's, you know, sub $300, $200 dedicated to that job. So when you think about, I have a work PC versus a quote personal PC, well, you hook a Chromebook to a monitor and you're off and running. You can do 95% of the things that you likely want to do in your idle time, unless it's specialized hobby stuff. But you can also do things like virtual desktops, where you have a desktop that is your work stuff and you have a desktop that is your personal stuff, and you don't cross over between the two. You can do the same thing on your phone, if you have, especially on Android, if you have a launcher, you have different launcher pages. So you set up a launcher page with work stuff and one with personal stuff. You can isolate things. I think the trick, though, is between either solution, whether you have a dedicated device that's its only job, or you're doing it through your software, you have to say, how do I need to work with this information to be effective? And then how do I make that my point of focus? That's what I was struggling with today, just to provide context. I have a master.
And I will add a third one to that.
Okay.
Okay, the first two you said are very valid. And the third one is, what is my best work? And how, you know, I'm going to use the word mature, because that's what I call with me. Mm-hmm. Okay, how mature I am to respect those boundaries. Okay, and I'm going to say that over I've been growing on maturity. Okay, but if you will have given me 10 years ago, you know, a dedicated device with access to everything, oh, I will have access to everything. We'll have bring. It's now that I can say, no, this device is not supposed to beep. Okay. It's now that I have a device that this is only work. Okay. It's a cell phone and it's only work. And I can now say, I don't want to see anything in my company. Shut yourself off until tomorrow and be okay. And my personal phone will still work. I will not be able to do that 5 years ago, maybe 10 years ago, no way. So that part of knowing yourself is very important. Okay. I could read Kindle books on my phone, I don't know, 2008. Okay. I think. But what happened when I read on my phone? And what is the quality of reading? It has nothing to do with the device, not the screen, not the light, nothing to do with that. Has to do with me starting to read and thinking, as soon as I start relaxing, thinking, I forgot to text Art. Oh, that's fine. shoot the book, it's an art. Now you and I are in conversation, and when the conversation ends, it's like what I was doing. Oh well, let me go and open email. You read instead of for half an hour for 2 pages. That's where the power of that comes.
It's easy to get tripped up on that, especially with notifications on devices, because they're interrupt driven, and that's, we live in an interrupt driven world. But I still have to go back to defining your context and understanding that there is a value to creating isolated experiences. A lot of people, again, still try to think about, and our computers don't help us do that. They are designed to do multiple things at one time, or at least be capable of. We're not built for that. We're not wired to operate in that manner. So if we think about our solutions and what platform we're putting together, we have to think about each set of things we're going to be doing and when are we going to be doing it. And I'll go back to my example. This is where I have to focus on it through software, because I may be sitting at my desk in the evening and come up with a couple of things as part of capturing things and say, oh, I need to do this on my truck and I need to do this on my wife's car, and that's fine. And I need them in my list, but I'm not going to have my desktop with me when I go to do those things. I need to be able to access them from someplace else, but I'm still only focused on automotive things at that point. And that's really where, for me, having that singular experience across multiple devices becomes critical, because in the instances where I've tried to build a singular experience on a singular device, I'll get into a situation where I don't have that device. Then it's like, well, I need that information, I need that context, something compels me to have that there, so I need to be able to get to that. But it doesn't change the value of a dedicated device, you know, air quotes, to handle particular types of work. So,
and I agree with you 100%. That's the information you may want to access for as many sources as possible. Okay, so if I am in the outside in the street and you call and say, where is the logo of Cross Platform? And the only thing I have my phone is, I should be able to access. That's fine. But what I don't want to do is, why do I'm going to go to Canva in my phone? There is no reason. Can I do it? Yes. Okay. Can I edit the logo and change it? Yes. Is that the best experience I'm going to get? No. I don't care how good is the software. So, but that is the thing. So for example, for that example that you just mentioned on the car, okay, I know somebody who bought a cheap touchscreen, okay, for the garage. Okay, put plastic surround wrap on the front, okay, and connect the phone and replicate the screen. So he can now touch, move the phone, but instead of being this screen, when he's all greasy, it's a massive, and when the thing gets impossible to clean, he changed the plastic on top and good to go.
That's an excellent idea. And here's where I think we've got a hybrid idea going. And if you've shown pictures of your workspace, my workspace, I've shown pictures over the years, and mine keeps changing. You can have a device that's dedicated to a job for a period of time. Mm-hmm. So, for example, like I'll be working during the course of the day and maybe I'm doing some design work. I'll take my tablet and I'll have my Notion checklist up on my tablet. That's not where it is all the time. That's not where I do the primary work with it. But its job right then is to just keep that in line of sight for me so that I know what's going on. And could I do it in another window? Yeah.
Yes, you can. Go ahead. For the people who have seen the pictures of my office, I have 6 screeners or 6 machines. Okay. And they switch. Okay. Sometimes right now, the MacBook is what is in the center because it's what we're using to record. But if I'm going to work in this machine, this machine is going to move to the center of the operations. And then the machine that's normally my iPad in the center of the operation will move that. So we play, you know, switching the houses because that machine may be perfect for what their use is currently right there. But if I'm going to start posting this show and I do this on the MacBook, that machine is not on the ideal place. Okay, can you do it there? Yes. But again, goes back to that question, is that the optimum way to do it? And the answer most likely will be no. So those factors are very important. And as you said, most of my stuff I can access for almost any device. Okay. Mm-hmm. But is keeping that focus, is keeping that ability to, when I'm going to work in this, I already customize for the best experience that I can create. Okay. And in base of that, then what, there are two factors in there. One, as I said, I get to whatever is the mode that I need faster. Okay. And second, I already working to make the experience pleasant for me. So when I'm doing that, I don't need to do, oh, well, now I have this. I love the iPad mini form factor. Okay. And I love, and I have a portable keyboard that allows me to have a back so I can put an iPad mini and I can put something to annotate in the side. Can be the Kindle, can be the books, doesn't matter what it is. Okay. Why? Mm-hmm. Because that format, when I'm writing specifically things about spirituality and religion and all that, that is the best format. I want to have the source next. So I can have the two screens and it's two devices, okay? And I can go and then I can grab one or the other. When I'm writing books, I like to write on a portrait screen, not a landscape. I like the idea of having the page. So I have worked over the years to make sure that the device I'm going to use will give me that best experience. Can I do it on the Mac? Yes. But the Mac will give me, by definition, a landscape vision, not a portrait vision. So, and I know the other way, keep me more on focus, that if I go landscape, it's too much white space and I get distracted. So that's what the dedicated device also allows you to. How can you customize that experience so it's more powerful to you? You know, I have an iPad that is normally on top of the MacBook, okay? And that thing, unless I'm on a Zoom call or something, okay, has opened my task and my calendar most of the time. Mm-hmm. Okay? Why? Because allow me to split that screen, and that allows me to look back and say, hey, are you focusing on your task and your list, or are you doing, you know, are you being spontaneous on the productivity?
Right.
Okay.
It's interesting when we think about it, because just looking at my workspace, one of the ways I always set up my workspace is right now, if you could see the camera, you'll see that I'm not looking at the camera. I'm looking mm-hmm. straight ahead at my desk. That is my primary machine. However, if I'm going to work on, say, design work, I have a large monitor off to my left, and I have everything positioned so I can swing my keyboard around and my mouse. That becomes my primary device while I'm working on it. The way I have found has not worked for me is if I try to have two of them side by side and I'm constantly going back and forth, because that's never focused. That's always a 50-50 split. But if I do it in this type of a structure where I have a dedicated activity on a device, in this case, the monitor, for that period, then it becomes like a 17-25 or 17-15-10 as I work my way around. But that allows me to concentrate on that work that I'm doing. Now, there are instances where I'll have multiple windows up, but that window is designed to do a job. So it acts like its own device. It's just trying to avoid having, and this is where I find, maybe this is really what the issue is. When you try to stack windows on your device, so you have multiple layers of open windows, that just looks like a cluttered desk. It becomes very difficult to keep track of things. It becomes very difficult to organize things. So having that dedicated functionality for the period of time that you're working on it, regardless of how you actually set it up, you need to then look and say, okay, if I'm going to be doing this thing, what is the information that I need to be able to have access to while I'm doing that thing? And how do I put that information in a place that's not going to interrupt me doing that thing. Right. And I'll use a context, for example, creating visual designs. A lot of visual designs I create have various information. They'll be about events or activities. So they'll have dates and prices and descriptions and things like that. I need that to be visually available while I'm creating the design, but I don't want to have to flip back and forth. That's where having a second monitor, a third display, a Chromebook that I can pull the information up on can be invaluable, because I know that information's there and accessible. Plus, if I really want to, I can highlight it, copy, paste, put it into a design. But the most important thing is that design stays up the entire time. Correct. It never goes off my screen while I'm working on it, because it is my primary job that I'm doing at that point. I may have multiple tabs open while I'm working on that design, different iterations of it, copying, pasting, that sort, but it's still always there. That time period for that task, that device is dedicated to that job. And it gives me that continuity. Think about when you get interrupted. When you get interrupted, how hard is it to get back into the work you're doing if that work is not first and foremost in front of you? It's really tough. So being able to bounce back and forth when interruptions happen, because they're going to happen. I mean, it's just life. But being able to have that work in the foreground, say, okay, I'm working on that. I'm going to keep working on that. That can really make a huge impact in the platform that you've assembled. So when you look at all your devices, Augusto, and you look at your setup and everything you know now, is there one thing you would have changed or done early on that you regret not doing, or not, maybe not even regret, but you kind of wish you had put into place early on?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I felt wasteful, okay, having not having enough device, okay? I feel, okay, why do I want to buy this Kindle to read technical information versus having one Kindle where I can read fiction and technical, okay? Mm-hmm. Because it's, you know, as you think about it, I mean, the Kindle's $100 or $60 now, okay? Why are you going to read every kind of material in the same Kindle? Even, I'm going to ask this. If you get, for example, this Kindle, I don't know what is the size of the screen, 6 inches, okay? Mm-hmm. But you get on the larger Kindle, okay? Why not get them both? For example, I read some cartoons, okay? Mostly Star Wars and all cartoons in Spanish, okay? They look much better in color. So mm-hmm. really, I can go and buy for $30, I think it was, okay? A Kindle Fire tablet that I use to read my cartoons. Okay, but now I enjoy mm-hmm. full color, okay? And when I grab this thing, okay? It's even a different color. It's an orange color, okay? Because what I'm going to do with this one is play. Okay, but you give now the clues to the brain that what is the kind of work you are going to do? How many times have you gone to read some technical stuff and you read a couple of pages and it's finally when the brain is like, oh, you're trying to do technical yep. reading. I thought this was a novel, my friend. I'll go back 2 pages back and let's read it again. How many mm-hmm. times that has happened to you? And most likely more than once. But it's the same thing. Yeah. And it doesn't matter. It's not a hardware or software issue. It's how you're going to train the brain to focus on what you need.
I think that's probably the most important aspect of everything that we've talked about so far, is you are providing mental context for the work that you're going to do. And you have assessed that of the work that you're going to do, even if it's something as simple as reading, you know, entertainment fiction, great. These are the things I need to do. I don't need to take notes on this. I need to be able to keep my place. I need it to be comfortable and enjoyable. You know, you've defined the context of the activity you are about to do, and you make sure that the things that you're going to do it on can meet those requirements. You can do that, then you can successfully, you have a much better chance of successfully achieving what you've just laid out. It's right. Very easy then to say, okay, I'm going to take this device that can do everything under the sun. I'm going to do it there. But if I haven't defined what I'm trying to do, I still may be using the wrong tool for it. Or I still may be using the right tool incorrectly for it. Reading is a great example. Task management, note-taking, we talked about that last week. If you're doing digital ink versus text, if you're doing text, the odds are pretty good you need a keyboard. So Correct. Where are you going to do it? How are you going to do it? And taking time to define that and define and refine constantly is, I think, probably the most important part of this. Because to constantly evaluate what you're doing with something and say, is this really working for me? Am I missing out on stuff? Is this just not enjoyable in this manner? I can give you a weird context for it. I like to play video games. I don't play run and shoot kinds of things. I play more role-playing games and that sort. But anyway, if I want to, I can play video games on my computer, my tablet, my phone, and my Xbox on my TV. Right. Where's the best place to do it? Well, it depends on the experience I want. I have to define the experience before I can even start to isolate the device. So taking time to look at that and say, okay, I need to manage this. I need to manage that. What has to come in? What has to come out? And then say, that works really well on the following. I'm going to do it that way. And try it. And then say, yep, works great. Or nope, doesn't work. Making that adjustment on the fly and continuing to move on can make or actually break your system if you don't do that for yourself. But I think the one thing that maybe we'll both agree on is there is no one tool that does all of this. No matter how hard somebody tries, there's not going to be just one tool that does everything for someone.
And there is no one answer either. And that is very, very important to remember. Okay. Because for me, and this drives crazy my wife, okay, I have God knows how many devices. We're not counting. Okay. And when I going to add a new activity, I consider, do I need a new device? Yes or no? Okay. And I don't mind traveling with a ridiculous number of devices. So are you comfortable with that? Yes or no? I have client who, when we start talking about this and segmenting this, he look at me and say, no, I'm willing to have a laptop and a phone. I can't have more than that. That will cause me anxiety. Great. Then the solution to that was we create different users in his laptop. Mm-hmm. So he can go to the work profile, or he can go to its Saturday profile. And yes, I want to be able to access this thing, but I want this machine to behave as is a whole completely laptop. So he carries one phone and one laptop, but depending on which user he used to log in into his laptop, he will see colors, pictures, and things that are completely different than, that's equivalent to having multiple laptops. Okay, for him, it's the equivalent. He just have it on one hardware. It's not about the dedicated devices. It's not necessarily about having 20 devices. Mm-hmm. It's about making sure, again, that the experience that you are having is the best experience for the task you are going to do. So, you know what? I don't need more than one laptop. One laptop is good for me. Great. Mm-hmm. Then how can you change the experience inside of that laptop? So, for example, you say, I'm going to do design. Okay. Then if you look into that big screen and you're assuming you only have one laptop, do you want to have all the notifications of the regular hot time machine? Maybe not. Then go to Windows and say, let's create a new user. Okay, you can share the stuff between the users. That's very easy to do. You can do the same thing on a Mac. Okay, and then now you have technically more than one computer inside of the same hardware, but they still are dedicated devices. Because if you create that machine, you are going to go to that purpose. I have a client who he has a user and it's called the typewriter. Okay. And when you see the pictures, it's a typewriter because that's the machine that he wants to log in first thing in the morning. That thing has no email, no IM, no nothing. And what he wants to do in there is to go to write and journal before he gets into the rest of his workflow. So he log in into that user, do what he's going to do. And when he's done, log out and everything is in there. It's multiple hardwares. No, no, it's one Mac in his case. Okay. But that allows him to have dedicated devices for what he do. Can he write in the other profile in the middle of the day? Yes. But the experience is different.
Yeah, that's, and I think that's really in the circumstance you're describing, the system logging in and logging out is providing him a reinforcement of the discipline necessary to not go check your email or not check this other thing because it's isolated. You don't really have that as an option.
And again, so, to make it conscious,
yeah,
because
it has to be a decision.
Discipline is impossible. Okay, you can win ever. You're never going to win unconscious discipline. Okay. If your weakness is a Snickers bar, okay, and you don't buy them, okay, you can avoid eating a Snickers bars. But if you or your wife or your kids, okay, every time they pass through your desk, they leave a Snicker in that table, okay, the chances that you're going to eat that thing are 90% or more. So it is the same thing. If he goes and he's writing, and he's think on emails. There is no email configure. So now he need to make the conscious decision. Okay, I'm going to save what I'm writing, log out of this profile, log in the new profile to send this email. Can't wait. But then, again, you keep the conscious because you call it discipline, but it's more, in my perspective, about being conscious or unconscious. When you're conscious, it's very easy to be disciplined. Okay, if you don't need easy not to eat sweets while you don't have it in front of you. Okay. But if I start leaving Snickers bar in your desk, okay, there is a moment where you are going to have them unconsciously.
No, and I get that. I mean, if you're eliminating the temptation, it's difficult then to actually act on the temptation to violate the constraints that you have created, the artificial box of interaction, which is important, I think, even more so when we think about situations where you're using one tool for multiple things. When we think about from a software perspective, when you're using something like an Evernote or a Notion or a OneNote or whatever to hold personal and professional things, to hold projects and activities and plans and notes, it's very easy to go down that rabbit hole then because it's the temptation is there. It's very visible. Oh, wait, you know what? I should have done that. And off you go. So to start creating those, I want to say letterboxed experiences, if you think about it from a TV standpoint, that limited experience focused on that activity, that can really be empowering because it doesn't take away from the power of everything in the back end, the versatility of that tool. I mean, you don't want to just eliminate all of the capabilities of a tool. That just doesn't make any sense. But what you want to be able to do is have that tool do its job while you ask it to do it and then change jobs when you need it to change jobs. Right. But you have to define that. There are very few out there that day one will do that for you. We talk about Todoist. Todoist is one of those applications that it can hold everything under the sun from an activity standpoint. But if you want to have those singular views on a set of activities, you have to set up the filters. You have to set up the labels. You have to go through that exercise of making that determination. The capability is there. But once you've defined it, then you can use it, then you can apply it. The other thing I will say, and we haven't talked about it, is consistency. being consistent with a behavior you have chosen is critical. There's no question about it. You talk about the reading part. Being consistent about where I'm going to do my reading and getting that behavior and that habit in place so that I want to do some fiction reading, I'm going to go grab my Kindle. I'm not going to grab my phone because I could. I'm not going to grab my tablet because I could. I'm not going to pull it up on my desktop because I could. My reading device is this device. And kind of forcing myself to use that consistently means that I can optimize my experience on that thing, because I'm not always trying to, how do I want to say, modify the experience to work across the broadest spectrum of capabilities.
Correct. That way you're not trying to, okay, how can I make the reading experience better on my phone? Can you make it? Yeah, you can tweak with the letter and the brightness and okay, but you can set it up in the Kindle, set it, done, forget it. Now every time you want to read, you can go and read that immediately. And again, I understand not everybody wants the multiple devices, but the devices yet are not into where you can do that in a button. It's getting there, but it's not there. And I sometimes explain to the people, like in the car, okay, you go and get into the car, okay? And what you do, you adjust your seats, your mirrors, your air conditioner vents, okay, all that, your radio volume, okay, and start driving, okay? Great. Now, your wife or your significant other or your kids, if they're old enough, get into your car, okay? The next day you get into the car, the first thing you do is, okay, and now start putting everything in the right place, okay? Fine. That's the same thing you do with your device, except that you do it so many times that you don't notice it.
And we set them up to be multi-purpose. The operating systems and the devices are designed to be multi-purpose, that we're actually going in and telling them, no, I don't want you to behave that way. I want isolated experiences, and you have to actually go through the effort of building those in many cases and tuning those. It's tough. I mean, the closest thing I can give you, when you think about like mobile devices, the ability to have folders on the launcher of whatever device you have and putting just those things in that folder, that we often will do it because they're related to each other, like all your finance apps in one thing. Well, it doesn't have to be that way. You can create a folder for morning activities. Great. And these are just the things I can do in the morning. Now, again, we go back to that conscious decision or discipline to not go popping into other things. But if you've just given yourself that little bit of streamlined, dedicated device, in that case, that dedicated folder to the things you need to do, already you're ahead of the game. It's already starting to help out. And if you can create shortcuts to things, we talk about browser-based applications. You create a folder on your desktop with shortcuts just to that set of things, or even better, things like Chrome or Edge, where you can use the bookmarks bar, put things into a folder there, and then right-click on it and say, open these folders, or open this folder and all the tabs in it. You immediately get, boom, this is the workspace I need to work on this stuff. I'm not going through and clicking on this and clicking on that and clicking on that. I've pre-configured. I've created a dedicated experience to allow me to get that particular type of work done.
And the chances that then you're going to be able to replicate consistently that experience, it's very, very, very high. Now you are not tweaking to see if you can make it work. You are tweaking, how can I get that 1% difference? And that is a significant thing. You know, as I said, and I have praised Samsung in this show for that. Why? Because Samsung is going with Windows what Apple did years ago. I love it. Okay. Years ago, that I could grab my iPad and see the same file that I have on the MacBook, or grab my phone and the same thing. And Samsung is now finally doing that. Do you need that? No. But when you have it, when you need it, that 3% of cases that you need it, okay, that experience is priceless.
Yeah. And that's that's really where I think, as we start to come to the end of all this, I think that's where, between the two of us, we're saying the exact same thing, whether it's multiple physical devices or a singular device with multiple experiences on it. Creating that unique desktop. And I'm going to go old school in the definition. I'm sure you've heard it, where you say, okay, I'm going to work on something, clear your desk. Before we had PCs and everything else, you clear your desk and that's the only thing that's on your desk. You put the stuff in the drawers, you put stuff away, everything, so you can focus on that activity. All this gear we have around doesn't want us to do that. We have to make that happen. And by defining that, and I'll go back to your technology cards, making that part of your technology card can really empower you to say, okay, I know how to do the following.
It is.
And I can do it again and again.
And again, and you made a fantastic point into that. When we talk about the technology card, that is the reason that technology card was created. I may have not explained it that well in that episode, but that is the reason. It's the only way to control these devices is not reinvent the wheel every time. If every time I get that iPad, I need to think, okay, why do I'm going to use this iPad? No. Let's work into, you already defined that. Let me fine tune instead of create every time from scratch.
Yeah, it makes all the difference from an experiential standpoint, from an effectiveness standpoint, and from a productive standpoint. Mm-hmm. That repeatability of the solution you've defined is going to make everything work better.
That's correct. The more boring, the more productive you are somehow.
And why aren't I getting more done? Because, man, I'm boring. All right.
Well, follow us where you like to listen podcast, like us or subscribe to us and leave us a review. You can also interact with us on personalproductivity.club. We have a channel there. And we're Gusto Pinot and Argel Weeks. See you next time from your favorite device. Thank you.